I've got so much to be thankful for. You know why I've lived for the Lord a long time and how? It's not because I'm a superman or anything. It's because God's brought me through the trials. I've got so much to be thankful for. I want to go into the Word of the Lord. I feel like I've heard from the Lord, and I want to. God did some great things here this morning. Tonight, I want to share with you what I feel like God has laid on my heart. I want to say thank you so much to Brother and Sister Crosswhite. They have honored me tremendously, and you folks have put up with me. I've often said we've pastored a few churches, and I've kidded and I've told the people they really voted for my wife, but they had to take me to get her. It's a package deal. So thank you so much. You folks have been so very kind, and we love you. We appreciate you, and we're so honored to be here. Going into the Word of the Lord, 1 Samuel tonight, I'm going there, then I'm going to the book of Job, and then I'm jumping all the way over to the book of Acts. I want to preach tonight. If I were to say, once you get in the church, your problems, your trials would be over. I could say that, but I would be lying. We had a young man, and he was young then. He's not so much young anymore, because that's been a long time ago. But he prayed through one Sunday morning years ago in our church, and some years later he testified. He said, I find I still have problems, but the difference is I've got God to help me now. And he said, when I was out in sin, I didn't have God. Folks, let me just give you a tiny bit of advice. If you see a sinner that you feel like they're doing better than I am, don't envy them. That's all they got. Our payday is coming. They've got theirs now. Ours is down the road, and there really is coming a payday. So I want to preach to you with the help of the Lord tonight, just for a little while, from this thought. When you don't know what to do, anybody ever been there? Do what you know to do. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. 1 Samuel chapter number 30, beginning verse number 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Oholiab the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Listen to this. For the people's of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Job chapter number 1 and verse number 20. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Jumping over to Acts chapter 16, and I'm sure most of you are familiar with these. Let me read it. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken, And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. I want you to notice verse 25. At midnight, they prayed and sang praises unto God. Lord, I love you from the very depths of my soul. And I thank you for where I'm standing tonight. And Lord, I am less than nothing without you, but I can do it all through you. You are the preacher. I'm only the delivery boy. So Lord, help me tonight to bless this church, Lord, these precious people, to hear the word which you have laid upon my heart. I thank you for it. I give all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory to you in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. And the ministry of his word, you may be seated. I mentioned to you that I want to preach when you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. It is amazing how people sometimes get in the church and they think, man, I'm not going to have any more problems. I know this preacher, he's not as quite as young now, but he said one time, he said, I'm never going to work again. And his pastor said, what do you mean? He said, I'm called to preach, so I'm never going to work again. Can I tell you, that's not what preaching is all about. Preaching is sharing the word of the Lord. I've come to tell somebody tonight, in your walk with God, if you live for God any time, there are going to be times you're not going to feel like shouting. You're not going to feel like praying. There are going to be times you don't even want to go to church. That does not mean you shouldn't do it. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do. I'm sure that all three of these men did not want to go through what they went through, but every one of them came through with flying colors. Can I tell you, you almost have to go through a hard time to ever be a hero. So when you don't know what to do, just do what you know to do. You know, most of the time, and you mentioned, I think, if I understood you right, the devil had been after you. Can I tell you, he's after every one of us. You do have an enemy tonight, whether you realize it or want to accept it or not. You do have an enemy. The devil does not want you to live for God, but God came and God died for you so that you could live for him. Can I say tonight, he died for you. He does not ask you to die for him, but he does ask you to live for him. There are times you walk through the valley, but I've come to tell you, in the valley, he restoreth my soul. He's the God of the valley, as same as he is the God of the mountain. He is the God when you don't feel like shouting, as same as he is the God when you feel like running the aisles. That chorus, sometimes my soul is in despair, but he always hears our prayer. And you say, Brother Schubert, we're not shouting. No, I understand that. And I felt like you would not be shouting when God laid this on my heart. But I gave you illustration of people that really went. Did you know if Job hadn't went through his trial, the book of Job would probably not even be in the Bible? We talk about David, and you hear almost every preacher, he talks about David being a man after God's own heart. But they don't normally tell you they were talking about stoning David. Let me tell you, David went through hell here on earth. And sometimes you may feel like, my God, what's going on? I don't know what's happening. Can I tell you, you may not know what to do. When you don't know what to do, just do what you know to do. I would not ask him. I don't really need to. I don't think. As much as we love our pastor, and he's mine too, I would almost guarantee you there's been times that he really didn't want to preach. Can I ask you ladies that have been married a while, Have you ever fixed a meal when you really didn't want to? You didn't know what to fix? Now, I've been married a long time. And my wife has said, man, getting a meal together every day of the week, it gets old. I don't know what to fix. And I get tired fixing the same thing. But she has never let a day go by that she didn't have me something to eat. You may not shout every time you come to church, but you need to be in church anyway. You may not feel like running around the church. Preacher, I don't feel anything. That's all right. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And when you don't know what to do, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going to pray anyway. I don't feel a thing, but I've come to tell you, do it anyway. It's amazing. You talked about going to work, working yesterday, or today rather. You ever gone to work when you didn't want to? You kids ever had to get up and go to school when you didn't want to? You men ever get up and go to work when you really don't want to? Man, I wish I could stay home today. You look at us people that's retired, and I'll guarantee you sometimes you think, I'll be glad when I can retire. And we look at you and think, I wish I could still do that. Why is it we're never satisfied with the position we're in? I used to look at a preacher and think, man, they got it made. They always got a suit on. They're always on top of the mountain until I became a preacher. It's amazing. We talk about David, and I heard a preacher. We were headed to a conference one time years ago, and we always tried to go to church wherever we were. And we went to church that Sunday morning, and we heard this preacher say, I wouldn't mind going through what Job did if I could have what Job had. Are you aware that Job's problem lasted about 2 years? How many of you would like to be the guy or the girl? I don't think girls do that. On the back of that bucking bull, you say, man, it's only about 8 seconds. Yeah, but eight seconds can seem like 8 years when you're on that bull. Let me tell you, Job went through a terrible trial, but Job made up his mind. God gives, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Preacher, I feel down in the valley. We had a couple in our church years ago, and we prayed all of them through and baptized them. And one day she told her husband, she said, Milton, I'm in the ditch. And he said, you're in the valley. She said, I'm in the ditch. He said, you're in the valley. She said, Milton, I'm in the ditch in the bottom of the valley. Sometimes you get so, you say, preacher, you're preaching negative. No, I'm preaching realistic. You don't always feel like shouting. I told some young preachers not long ago, it's been a while now. I said, brethren, every sermon is not going to be a masterpiece. You ladies that have been married for a while, is every meal you fix a masterpiece? I always try to tell my wife, that was good. You say, what if it wasn't? It is. Because I've seen a time when I didn't have enough to eat. So if there's food on my table, that's good. I remember when I was just a kid, there was a time, one time in my life, we had water, gravy, and cornbread to eat. That was it. Gravy don't go with cornbread, folks. And water, gravy, you folks looking at me like, what are you talking about? Some of you elders, do you know what I'm talking about? Water gravy is when you don't have milk, you make gravy with water. And water, gravy, and cornbread don't mix. Let me tell you, if there's food on my table, I'm thankful for it. And I'm going to thank God for it. And I'm going to give my wife credit because she made it up. Can I tell somebody, I may not feel like running the aisles, but I'm going to praise God. I'm going to thank God anyway. I may not know what to do, but by the grace of God, I'm going to do what I know to do. feel the Holy Ghost. See, the devil will tell you, man, you don't feel like going to church tonight. Well, they won't miss you. Yes, they will, and God will too. You need to be in the house of the Lord. I worked at the plant rotating shift for years. And in the wintertime especially, I'd get off the midnight shift at 7:30 in the morning, go home, get a bath, cleaned up, go to church, get warm in that church, sit there, and when the preacher would start preaching, you'd about break your neck, you know. You doze off, you do this. But I went to church. You know why? I needed church. But I felt like my pastor needed me there. Can I tell you, your pastor needs you in the house of the Lord. You say, man, he's got it all together. We never have it all together that we don't need you in the house of the Lord. You don't know what to do. Do what you know to do. And you know you need to go to church. I don't understand this, and I'm not going to tell you that I know what he did or what he said. It doesn't say in the book. But these men were talking about stoning David. They wept till they just couldn't cry any more tears. And they were talking about stoning David. And David, and you know, sometimes nobody pats you on the back and says, you're doing a great job. What am I going to do? Pat yourself on the back and say, you done what you should have done. You don't have to have somebody every time to pat you on the back. You did what you know you should do. You know, some years ago, I used to try to play a banjo a little bit. And there was a guy, professional, and he wrote in a little booklet that I used to get years ago. And he said, if you can't play the banjo fast in 1 year, give it up. And the very next month, somebody wrote a rebuttal and said, if you never get to where you can play fast and you like the banjo, don't quit. What are you saying, preacher? You may not can testify like somebody else. I can't sing like she did. I can't sing like some of these young men. But I'm not going to quit. I play a guitar, but I can't play like a lot of others. But I'm not going to quit. I can't preach like somebody else. But I'm not going to quit. I'm going to give my God my best. I'll do the best that I can. And God, it's in his hands. I may not know what to do, but I'm telling you, by the grace of God, I'll do what I know I ought to do. I had a message one time, and I told my wife, I said, man, I wish somebody that really knew what they were doing had that. And then I got word somebody else had a sermon. And somebody else said, I wonder what Marlo Schubert could do with that. So you see, you may think, I ain't near as good as somebody else. That's okay. God didn't make you somebody else. Be the best you can be, and that's all God wants. David wound up being king. But he was not king before he suffered tremendously. It's amazing. I know a lot of you have heard of James Kilgore. James Kilgore had a big church. But if you've never heard James Kilgore talk about how he was raised, his daddy was a preacher. James Kilgore had a church of about 1,500 to 2,000. That's a big church. But they lived in chicken houses so they could preach the gospel. You see, God a lot of times lets you go through the hard times before he'll let you enjoy the big times. Say, I don't know what to do, man. Now, there is nobody in this building that likes them wild services any more than I do. When, you know, you hear these testimonies, somebody said, boy, we had a good service. A preacher didn't get to preach. That doesn't mean you didn't want to hear the preacher preach. That just means the Holy Ghost took over. And that's great. But we are begotten by the Word, and we're going to be justified by the Word, and we're going to be saved because of the Word. We've got to have the Word of the Lord. There was a man some years ago, and his daughter got married. Her and her husband left the church on their honeymoon and got killed in a car wreck. Never got to where they were going. And the pastor that was preaching for her, I think it was his job to go tell the news to her parents. And he went to the door, and they came to the door. And he had to tell them, "Your daughter has been killed in a car wreck." And Daddy stood there, and he said, "The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away." And he stopped, and the preacher said, "Finish it. Brother, finish it. You got to." He said, "Give me just a minute. Give me just a minute." And he waited a minute, and then he finished it. He said, "Blessed, blessed be the name of the Lord." Let me tell you something. Sometimes the chips are going to be down. Sometimes you're going to be in the valley. Sometimes you're going to get some news that may break your heart. That doesn't make God any less God. That doesn't mean God don't care about you. The same God that brought you to where you are today is going to get you through that heartbreak and that sorrow. I've come to tell somebody today, when you don't know what to do, "My God, what's going on? What's happening in my life? I don't understand it, but I'm going to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to praise Him. I don't feel like it. I don't feel nothing, but I'm going to praise Him anyway." Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And I preached about this the last time I was here. I've heard people say, did God change Job's wife, or did he get another wife? Now, here's my feeling. We don't know. But I think God changed Job's wife. Because let me tell you, in her defense, she had lost everything. They had lost everything they had. It would be easy to get bitter in a situation like that. I did not know this preacher personally, but in the Vietnam War, his son was killed in action. And he got so angry, he was knelt in an altar, and he took his Bible and slung it against the wall and said, "God, if that's the way it is, you can have it." And he was through. He said, "I'm through." Let me tell you, good and bad happens to all of us. It rains on the just and on the unjust. I've never gone through anything like Job did. But let me tell you, I've told myself from time to time, "Schubert, you've never gone through anything like the Lord did. And he didn't deserve any of that. But he did not quit. He said, I'll still go. I'll still lay down my life for him." Can I tell somebody, you don't always feel like shouting, but you still need to stay in the church. You still need to live for God. You still need to pray. You still need to worship. It is amazing. You know, I'm fixing to ask you a question that I've never asked anybody before while I was preaching. Is this okay? I know it's not going to make you run the aisles. I understand that. But I don't want you to get in church and think, "Man, my trials are over. I mean, it's going to be hot biscuits and gravy from now on. Might be water gravy and a piece of cornbread." I think about, and really, to me, it's humorous. Because Paul and Barnabas had traveled together before. And they had John Mark went with them on missionary journey. And I don't know what happened. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But whatever happened, John Mark said, I'm going to the house. And he left them and he went home. And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with him again. And Paul said, he ain't going. And Barnabas said, yes, he is. And Paul said, no, he ain't. And so the Bible said that the whatever got so stiff between them, they split up. And Barnabas took John Mark and Paul took Silas. And what's humorous to me, I've wondered a few times, wonder how many times Silas thought, what was I thinking when I decided to go with Paul? Because he was in prison. And you can say what you want to, but being in prison and beat up, 39 stripes, save one. I mean, 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes on your back, and then put in stocks. If I understand these things, there's a kind you put your hands in and your feet in them, and it's midnight. And if the preacher kept us till midnight, we'd be ready to vote him out. And at midnight, my son, years ago, we went to a youth rally. And at the end of service, we started to go home, and my wife and me got in our car, and Steve was going to get in, and he did get in his car, and it wouldn't crank. And he liked a backslid between there and our house because his car wouldn't crank. We got home, and I tried to talk to him, and it's hard to talk to somebody when they're mad. You young men need to hear this. I said, son, don't let that car not start. Don't let it. He said, Dad, I can't praise God with a stupid car that won't start. Isn't that a silly thing? You think that's a silly thing, but how many of you have ever got stranded and your car wouldn't start? And I said, well, we'll take care of it in the morning. We got up the next morning. We went up to the church where we had the youth rally, raised the hood, and the battery posts were corroded with acid. Cleaned them off. He got in it, cranked it up. We went home. Let me tell you something. Sometimes, and I was preaching revival. We were down the country years ago. And pastor told me he had a revival before we got there. And this young preacher came from Indiana in the winter. And he didn't drain his water lines, and every one of them froze in his travel trailer. And he said that young preacher was trying to get them thawed out and get them fixed, and he said that young preacher kept saying, the devil did this, the devil did this. And he said, oh, shut up, boy. Devil didn't do nothing. You did it because you knew you should have drained them lines, and you didn't do it. Sometimes we blame the devil, and it's me. Anyway, the battery posts were corroded up and we cleaned up. Sometimes we make this thing the problem ourselves. But what am I going to do with a car that won't start? I'm going to praise God. If it never starts again, by the grace of God, I'm going to church. I can get another car, but let me tell you, my soul is at stake. I've got to be in church. I got to pray. I got to worship. I got to be faithful. Because you see, there is a payday coming. I don't know what to do, preacher. We had a man preaching at revival years ago in a church we was pastoring. And he was driving a borrowed car. And so I told the church what was going on. And we took up a special offering after service was over. It's been years ago. Got him $3,700. That's a pretty good offering. He kept standing there saying, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say. I said, try thank you. Works wonders. You want to get something else? Try thank you. You say, well, what's that got to do? Try thanking the Lord. When things are not going right, try thanking the Lord anyway. You say, what am I going to thank him for? Salvation, baptism in his name, the Holy Ghost, the hope that we got. I've still got God. When I don't have nothing else, I've got God. You think there would have been an earthquake that opened up the prison doors? If Paul and Silas had not prayed and sang praises, there never would have been an earthquake. And the cell doors would never have come open. But God honored their praise and their worship. You know, sometimes if we'd just praise God, it would do wonders. It's amazing what that, well, there's a course named that. It's amazing what praising will do. And it really is. Preacher, I can't praise when everything's going against me. You know what? When the Lord prayed, hanging on the cross, he looked across that crowd and said, Father, forgive them. That's pretty good, isn't it? They don't know what they're doing. I wrote a song about that some years ago. Oh, my goodness. Paul and Silas, not always easy to pray. And it's certainly not always easy to really worship the Lord. Paul said it. He said, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest haply after I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. He said, I fear lest haply after I preach to others, I myself should become a castaway. Paul said, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what that was, but it was bad because he said, I sought the Lord thrice to take it away. And God said, ain't going to do it. That ain't the way it's worded in the Bible, but God said, I can't do it. If I did, you would be exalted above what you ought to be exalted. So he said, I'm not going to take the thorn away. Maybe you got a thorn in the flesh. Let me tell you, God saw to it that Paul had enough grace, and God will give you grace to make it all the way. What am I going to do? I don't know. But when you don't know what to do, just do what you know to do. We talk about David, we talk about Job, we talk about Paul and Silas. But let's talk about some of the things they went through before they became great men of God. I play a guitar a little bit. And I've read the history on some of those great musicians. They went through tremendous trials before they ever made the big time. Let me tell you, some of our greatest preachers have gone through some tremendous trials before they ever got well known. And then I was preaching down the country some years ago, and I was preacher, the pastor that I was preaching for, he said, Brother Schubert, we've got some tremendous preachers that pastor small churches. They'll never preach camp meeting. They'll never preach conference. But let me tell you, they are good, and God knows where they are. Can I tell somebody that you may not make the headlines? You may not make camp meeting. You may not be a great singer, but let me tell you, do what you can and do it the very best you can, and watch how God is going to bless you. Let's stand and let's love the Lord right now. Preacher, I don't know what to do. Do what you know to do. Keep going to church. Keep praising the Lord. Keep testifying. Keep singing. We don't want to compare ourselves with ourselves. We just want to do the very best that we can. Give us some music. Brother James Kilgore's mother died a terrible death of cancer. and she suffered so tremendously. But 3 days before she died, I believe, said Schubert, she began to testify. And when people would come to visit, she'd say, "Have you heard the news? I made it." She knew then she had crossed the line. She was in heaven. And before she ever left the earth, she'd say, "I made it. I've made it. I've made it." Let me tell you something. You may be struggling. You may be fighting a battle. You may be having a hard time. But someday you're going to be able to look at the devil and say, "I made it. I made it. I worshiped when I didn't feel like it. I went to church when I didn't want to go to church. I prayed when I didn't feel like praying. But I made it. I made it. I made it. I made it. I made it." When you don't know what to do, just do what you know to do. There was a preacher one time who was dying, but he couldn't feel God. Preacher after preacher friend would go in and pray. He said, "If I could just feel God one more time before I leave this world. But I can't feel God." If you've never went through that valley, you're blessed. Because there have been times folks have gone through the valley where you don't feel anything. But 2 days before his death, the preacher finally walked in and they began to pray. He was dying with cancer. Laying in that bed, he wasn't able to get up, but all of a sudden, Brother Colson, and he began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Oh my God, he could have quit. But he kept loving God. He kept praying. He kept praising God. When he didn't feel like it, when he didn't want to, when he felt nothing, he kept on praising God. When you don't know what to do, do what you know to do.
The Lord giveth and he taketh. Taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
These altars are open right now.
I've served him before. I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
I wonder if we could all join together at these altars right now.
The Lord giveth, he taketh away.
I wonder if we can bind together.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm with him before, I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've served him before, I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name. Serve him. today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've served him before. Taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've served him before. I'll serve him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
If it's appropriate, I think it's right now to grab somebody next to you by the hand, if it's appropriate. Put your hand on their shoulder. And I wonder if we can bind together. Because we don't know what the person next to you is going through. I'm not walking in their shoes. But it sure does feel good to have somebody there that says you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. Just do what you know to do. You can make it. Let's pray right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm asking you to move and minister, oh God. Lord, and strengthen the lives in this place. Lord, you see every situation, every need. Oh God, every storm. I'm asking you, Lord, to move, oh God, in the men and the women of this church. Yeah, Lord. Come on, that's it. Let's keep praying just for a few minutes. The Holy Ghost is wanting to do something in somebody's life. Now, I'm telling you, this is straight from the throne room. Tonight's message is straight from the throne room of heaven. Oh, somebody's in a struggle. Somebody's maybe in a trial. Oh, you don't know which way to turn. Hallelujah. You don't know whether to go left or right or up or down. Oh, but God's telling you, just do what you know to do. Just keep going. Hallelujah. Oh, you don't hear the teacher during a test. You don't hear the instructor. Oh, when the quiet time of the test comes. But you know that the instructor has encouraged you, has taught you, has put something in you that they know that you can pass this test. You just have to just do what you know to do.
Thank you.
Somebody has ask yourself, you've had questions whether heaven is even real. I'm here to tell you tonight, as a witness to those that have went on before me, Brother Schubert, heaven is real. As the breath that you breathe. I'm reminded of Lindsay. She was in my youth group. And about, it's probably been about 15 years, 20 years ago now, that Lindsay got a rare form of cancer. And her husband, she had gotten married, had a little baby, and baby was 2 or 3 years old, and Lindsay went on to be with the Lord, and her husband said that the day that she passed on, that she was giving him instructions on what to do and to make sure that he lived for God. And he said, as she went out of this world, she said, I see Jesus. See Jesus. She began to close her eyes. I see Jesus. And she left this world shouting, I see Jesus. Heaven is real. I don't know if you know Kenneth Alexander, pastor in Waxahachie. My mama married his brother, David. And David passed away a few years ago. But I was little, sitting in Grandma Alexander's living room as she began to pass away from colon cancer. And that was back in 92, so I was 8 years old. And I remember it, Brother Schubert, to this day, sitting in that living room and Grandma Alexander dying of colon cancer. And this woman has had no strength, just bones. And so much no strength that they've had to wet her mouth with a sponge to keep her from having real, real dry mouth. And she just lays there. And I remember all of a sudden, the strength came in Grandma Alexander and she sat up in bed. She began to take her nightgown off. Everybody ran over there. Grandma, what are you doing? Put your nightgown back on. She said, these three men came and brought me a robe and told me to put this robe on. I was 8. And they said, there's no men here. She said, yeah, they're at the door. They're telling me to put this robe on. And they got her laid back down, and when she laid down, she was gone. Heaven's real. Just keep on. Do what you know to do. When the enemy comes in and makes you question whether heaven's real and whether this life is worth living, know that heaven is real. Know that this life of living for God is worth living. Like I said before, a bad day in the house of God is better than the best day living in the world. Just do what you know to. Thank you, Brother Schubert. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Sometimes it's just one step in front of the other. I know those that are in a marathon, when they begin to get about halfway to 3/4 of the way, they said that last stretch coming around that curve is one of the most tiring. But that's when you have to amp it up and just put one foot in front of the other. Just keep on. Just keep on. The finish line's in sight. Just keep on. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love the Lord right now. He is worthy. Jesus. Ain't God good? Let's give him a hand clap of praise. It feels good to live for God. Good times, bad times, it still feels good to live for God. There's a joy. Hallelujah. Birthdays and anniversaries for the month of June. Let's go with birthdays first. Birthdays in the month of June. Coley finally turned 12. Praise the Lord. Devin, anybody else? Devin's finally 10. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you. God's blessings on you, we pray God's blessings on you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. We pray God's blessings on you, pray God's blessings on you, and the best year you've ever had. Anniversaries. Sister Richardson had an anniversary in June? Well, come on up here. We make everybody else do it. Brother Richardson's here in spirit, we know. He's been busy like I have. You can't hide in plain sight, sister. Anybody else? What?
Hi.
Well, come on. Let's sing. Happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy anniversary to you, a happy anniversary to you, and the best year you've ever had. We pray God's blessings on you, we pray God's blessings on you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. We pray God's blessings on you, we pray God's blessings on you, and the best year you've ever had. Praise the Lord. Join us in the third building. Birthday anniversary folks get to go first.